Nicole, welcome.
Thank you so much. It is a pleasure to be here with you, Luke.
Of course. I'm pumped you're here too. You know, we kind of just talked off air for a second, but I'm going to do a little podcast intro for you before I let you do your thing. Every couple months, I go through and just look at Instagram and look at potential guests who I want to have on the show. A lot of them being dietitians or people who I admire in the space, whether I know them or not, or whether I've met with them or crossed paths with them at some point. You and I, we've never necessarily crossed paths, but you went through a mastermind group before I went through that like 3 or 4 years ago. And so you were somebody that was always, you know, a few steps ahead of me. And so I came across your page. I have followed you for 4 years, but I went to send you a DM a few weeks ago, whenever that was. And I saw some of our messages that we had from like 2020 or 2021 when I was first starting my business. And I looked back and we sent some voice messages back and forth. And some of the questions I was asking were, I don't want to say cringy because we're all there. We all go through some of those things at one point, but it's just one or couple things. One, like I always appreciate people who kind of make space and can kind of make time for people who, you know, are maybe quote unquote behind them or who are, you know, curious and who are trying to get to where somebody else is. And two, I just think that speaks volumes about you and other people who do that. And for those reasons, like whenever someone sends me a DM, like because of those experiences that I had with people like you, I really try and return the favor. And that's stuck with me, even though I've, you know, been here for 3-4 years now and beyond. So a couple things. I just really appreciate you and your time. And I have forgotten about that before I messaged you and I wanted to get you on the podcast, but it's been fun to see the trajectory of your business, the trajectory of mine, and how we can cross paths again here today and just kind of have a fun conversation that we got lined out. So first and foremost, thank you for everything you've done for me. And I'm excited for today's conversation because I respect you and a lot of the work that you do. And I think you really do an amazing job in the nutrition space. So thank you for being here. And with all that being said, give your little podcast intro and we'll kind of roll from there.
Oh, Luke, thank you. That was so sweet. And I am always welcome to DMs and like messages, even if it's just like, help, I don't know what I'm doing. And you look like maybe you know what you're doing, which is sometimes not the case, but I was there too. Like, I remember sending messages and being like, hey, I heard that you're doing this mastermind. Like, can you give me your thoughts? Or I'd love a review on this. Or how did you get there? How did you? And I know not everyone has the time and the capacity to respond, but I always received very thoughtful messages in response. So I try to do the exact same thing. My DMs are always open.
For sure. Likewise, any coaches out there listening, you can always reach out to us. We're here for you. And I find that that's the biggest mindset shift that I had since like starting a business is like not thinking that this whole thing was like a zero sum game, right? That like, since Nicole's doing well and killing it and having her own business, that like that's taking away from my clientele or my people or my audience. And I think as soon as I appreciated the fact that a lot of us are in this together and that a lot of us share one common goal, which is to reach people, to help people, to kind of create communities, like that's when I felt like this whole social media stuff, this whole podcast stuff, like everything just become a little bit easier knowing that we all kind of have each other's back. So for any other coaches out there, or even just people listening to this podcast who are just, you know, trying to improve their health and fitness, just know that fitness, business, you know, your relationships, all of this stuff, it's not a zero sum game. And just because someone else might meet a different spot doesn't mean that you aren't allowed to have that or can't get there or can't go somewhere different. So I find that that for me was a turning point, you know, a couple of years in where I was just like, oh yeah, this became a lot more fun instead of viewing everyone as competition, you know?
And I see it with clients too. And that might be something that you can relate to as well. I remember a coaching call specifically, and I was talking with a client who was kind of discouraged with where she was at. And she was like, I see you posting all these client wins. And I just think, oh, that could never be me. She's probably so disappointed that I never celebrate wins. And in my head as a coach, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I am posting those so that you can see what is possible. These other women have created those results and that's amazing, but they're living their own lives. They have their own circumstances and you can create your own progress too. It might look totally different, but like, it's just as worth celebrating. And then I kind of sat back and I was like, whoa, why don't we take the same approach as coaches? Like, it doesn't have to be competition. It really can be, wow, look at what's possible.
Totally. Yeah. I've had very similar experiences as well. I went through a phase where I was doing like, wins Friday or something like that on my Instagram and would post wins from my coaching clients' calls, whatever. You know, we all know it's just kind of marketing to, you know, our followers to get people in the door and to get people interested and to, you know, want what some of our clients are having. So there's definitely some marketing behind it, but it was to celebrate the people and to celebrate the unique differences that people look at as, you know, success in their own lives. And I think the thing that helped more than anything was people appreciate the fact that like success and progress look very different than just hitting a low or seeing a transformation photo after a 3 month or 6 month stretch working with the coach. You know, for some person seeing that like, oh, I went to a Super Bowl party this weekend and I didn't binge on everything in sight. Like for somebody looking at that, they're like, oh shit, like that's possible, you know? And like, I think drawing inspiration from other people instead of having that comparison kind of syndrome that a lot of people can have with their health and fitness. And again, even as coaches to coaches, peer to peer, like it's just fascinating to see how human psychology is so interconnected with everything nutrition, fitness related, everything goal oriented, right? It's like, if you can't get past the mindset piece or be really introspective in that area, everything else is probably going to be a little bit more difficult if we're not able to tackle some of those things that we're dealing with. So
I completely agree. And speaking of psychology, I know you asked me to introduce myself like 17 minutes ago. Yep. I will do that. I'm Nicole Hagen. I am an adoptive mom times two, dog mom, and mint chocolate chip ice cream lover. I'm also an online nutrition coach with degrees in psychology and nutrition science. So I love the mindset stuff. I also have 10 years, maybe going on 11 at this point, of experience coaching women to create confident relationships with food and sustainable fat loss without crash dieting through habit formation. And I arrived at this place because in my mid-20s, I struggled with all the things that you could struggle with around unhealthy relationships with food. I was never clinically diagnosed, although my therapist tells me she would have diagnosed me as being anorexic at the time. And I kind of arrived at that place because I felt out of control in my life. I didn't have the tools to navigate what was going on in my life. And as a way to obtain a false sense of control, I started obsessing over every calorie, cutting out food groups, overtraining, etc. Lost my cycle for several years, fractured my hip, fractured my spine in my 20s, all as a result of punishing my body with too little food and too much exercise because diet culture told me that was healthy and I really clung to that messaging. So I essentially, after recovering and after putting in a lot of time and energy into creating a healthy, confident relationship of my own, committed my career to helping other women escape that diet culture messaging and to learn how to powerfully nourish themselves. And creating body composition change can be a wonderful health promoting thing, but I wanted to make sure that people were going about it with the right tools in the right way. So that's what I do every day. And I absolutely love it.
Amazing, precise breakdown. I appreciate those. A lot of information there. I'm curious if you have one of those like aha moments or one of those memories where you're like, something's got to change, right? Because I think so many people can go through the process of feeling out of control to feeling more in control, or at least a temporary sense of control where they're controlling their diet or, you know, going back to some protocol or being really rigid, or maybe they're tracking everything, you know, from a food standpoint or exercise standpoint, super meticulous. Like, I think some people feel like when they're in that mindset, when they've had some of these experiences of kind of crash dieting, yo-yo dieting, stop, start, all or nothing mentality, it's like in that moment, people feel in control and they feel like things are going well until they don't, right? Until they inevitably hit a point where, you know, things like losing your menstruation cycle or fucking breaking your bones or insert whatever type of tipping point where people realize that, like, you know what, maybe the stuff that I'm doing actually isn't the thing that I need to be doing. Like, I'm curious if there was a moment in time or if it was like a summation of a lot of experiences for a long stretch that got you to a place where you're like, no, I need a radical change, not to just jump back into this kind of protocol that I've been kind of leaning back on in, you know, the last 5 years or whatever it is.
It's a great question. One I've been asked before, and I don't have a light bulb moment to recall. Like, there was no big, sun shining down from the clouds, like, aha. But I do recall So I got my undergrad in health psychology. Health was always something I was super passionate about. At the time, I was deeply struggling with my disordered relationship with food. And at that point, I knew, I'm kind of into this nutrition thing, obsessively so. So it was not a healthy relationship with it, but I knew I wanted to pivot my career in the nutrition direction. So my master's is actually in nutrition, physical activity, and public health. And I got it abroad. So I went to the UK to get my master's degree, loved my time there. And I was still very, very much struggling with overtraining, feeling like I had to earn my food, logging every calorie, the gum, the fish oil that I took, you know, like obsessively tracking and measuring. And I remember thinking, if I want to help people lead healthy lives, I probably need to get my shit together. And it wasn't because anyone said anything. It was just that I knew, like at that point, I had been engaging in this behavior for long enough, and I knew that it was not serving me and it would not continue to serve me. At the time, I wasn't ready to change that behavior, but I was dealing with some physical symptoms at the time. Of course, I didn't have my period, but I was also really lightheaded. It felt like the ground would shake beneath me. I remember going to the doctor in the UK because they have universal healthcare, and I was like, hey, yeah, let's see what's going on here. And the physician said, you have a BMI, you're underweight. It's not something that we need to look into further. You probably are malnourished. You need to eat more food. And I remember sitting in his office and arguing with him because the BMI like ranges are slightly different in the UK than they are in the US. And I was like, well, according to the US BMI chart, I'm not underweight, so that can't be the problem. And left like pretty much unchanged, but that should have been a red flag for me. The next moment was after all of these, you know, physical symptoms were kind of adding up, I was losing hair and I just felt terribly. My mom took me to an OBGYN. And I remember going into his office and waiting to have my exam. And he walked into the room and he was like, oh, I don't need to give you an exam. I know exactly what your problem is. You're under eating. And no one ever said like you have an eating disorder or you're anorexic. And I remember leaving his office furious because I just eat so healthy. No one can understand. I eat so healthy. That was the argument that I had sold myself on and what I was trying to sell family members and loved ones on who were concerned for me. But I think it was after that when I realized, okay, things are starting to add up. What I'm trying to do myself is clearly not working. So maybe there's something here. So to answer your question directly, I think it was just like a summation of a lot of experience and a lot of signals and signs I was ignoring for so long that just eventually became glaring and I couldn't ignore them anymore.
Yeah. And like kudos to that doctor, that healthcare professional that you saw that was transparent and probably told you the thing that you didn't want to hear, that you needed to hear, that made it almost made this like tipping point finally boil over and you found a place where you were like maybe a little bit more objectively like honest with yourself of like what needed to happen from that moment on. And I find that a lot of people can get into that kind of that pathway of like having things happen over time and then not knowing things are happening and then have 2, 3, 4 a decade, you know, years to a decade go by. And the place that they're in now is kind of a consequence of the things they have been doing or the lack of things that they've been doing or the lack of awareness they've had around health promoting behaviors that may be more productive versus like actually being destructive at the end of the day. And I think that's a fine line that not a lot of people can see for themselves sometimes. So I like having a coach, having a healthcare provider, like unfortunately getting to a place where you have to seek help and you are kind of vulnerable and you're like looking for some answers. Like, unfortunately it takes getting to that spot for actually, you know, progress and people to make meaningful progressions going forward. But you know, that is someone experience it where somebody else could have, you know, one blood draw or they break their hip, right? Or they lose their cycle and they realize that, oh shit, you know what? Like maybe hormonally and, you know, maybe from a body fat percentage, maybe I'm not where I need to be to actually be fully healthy, right? Maybe it's fertility issues. Maybe it's like getting to a place where they're recovering from an eating disorder or, you know, disordered eating patterns. I think those two can kind of go hand in hand, whether you're actually formally diagnosed with some of those things or not. But it's just fascinating for me to hear someone like you go through something like that and being somewhat of a healthcare professional who's helping people do this, like that experience is not super different, I imagine, than some of the clients that you work with, some of the clients that I've seen and have worked with as well. And just the people and the shit that people are dealing with right now, it's like, I want people to appreciate the fact that, you know, you and I are more like others than not, you know, or we have had these experiences that are probably very similar to other people. And I think that being able to relate with that and empathize with that, like, makes somebody a really good and impactful coach. And ideally finding somebody who's been through similar things as you. It's like, you know, a bodybuilder going to Nicole where she's like, I want to track all my macros, do a T and get on stage. It's like, yeah, maybe that's not a good fit, right, for that person. But just following and getting to a place where you realize that, like, hey, the people who are helping me have likely been through some of these things, you know, that I've gone through. And I find that people, and especially in a coaching client relationship, you can get to places quicker when you have that mutual respect versus a lot of influencers and people following plans online where it's like, oh, this person looks the way I want to look. I'm going to buy into their 20 or 30 day jumpstart program and try and do their workouts and see if I have a tucked tummy and eliminated FUPA by the end of the fucking, you know, 8 weeks or whatever it is. So I don't know. That was a long monologue, but I appreciate your vulnerability and being able to share that, because I feel like more people can identify with those types of experiences instead of just this perfect story of like, oh yeah, I have always been healthy and yada, yada, yada. It's like, that's just not something that's super relatable for a lot of people.
And I do recognize that in some regard, I am super privileged. So I grew up in a family where, like, I didn't have an almond mom. I didn't have a mom that was constantly on the diet train. My dad is an ex-professional athlete. So, like, movement was always a part of our lives. We went on family bike rides from the time I can remember, you know, memories. So I have a lot of things that are working in my favor with regards to why I ended up, you know, in the health space. However, I think some of, like, the story that turned really ugly for me certainly gives me a level of empathy that I would not have had if I hadn't gone through that myself. And to your point, Luke, someone listening might be like, how do you not know you have a problem if you break a hip or you break a spine? Those things didn't actually happen until after I started recovering. So I had already done the damage to my bone density. And I think that's where I work with my clients, is like, things feel off. They're not feeling amazing, right? Like, they don't have this really awesome sex drive. They're not feeling super confident in their body. They're completely, like, just so weighed down with food rules and food noise and, like, all the stuff they're trying to do to get the body that they think they need. They haven't seen the other side of that. It was, the fractured bones were kind of like a consequence that I didn't have to navigate until after I realized I had this huge problem. So it's sort of like, I've seen the whole movie, but where the clients I'm working with, they've only seen the first half. And so it allows me to be like, okay, I understand, like, why this is so alluring, but let's think about how this is going to play out for the rest of your life. Like, let's think about where the trajectory is taking you. Because I did that. Like, I learned the really, really hard way. Some of us have to, I get that. But you also can choose to change your behaviors and change your future and change your outcomes as a result right now.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm happy you bring up the privilege piece of that, because I think that's something that in people's messaging online goes missed, you know, with just the practicality of where somebody is and where they want to be and where they want to get to. It's like, you know, someone hiring a coach, where I'll be fully transparent too. It's like, you know, if someone were to ask me, like, how do you stay leaner year round? Like, how do you do that a little bit more, quote unquote, effortlessly? And it's like, you know, at the end of the day, for me, similar to you, Nicole, it's like favorable upbringing, it's a huge one, and good genetics. Like, without those two, I'd be in a very different spot or position than, you know, maybe somebody who didn't get that same experience or the same hand that I was dealt, right? Now, within that, yeah, you could look back, and I've tracked food, you know, off and on for the last 4 or 5 years, you know, like, I work with people, I've, you know, gone to school for 7 or 8 years. Like, yeah, there's some other things that maybe make this a little bit easier, more effortless for me. But I think a lot of people, when we appreciate the fact, going back to, like, it's not about comparison here, because no one is an apples to apples comparison from you to me or from client to client. It's just appreciating the fact that we're all running our own race. And it's so cliche to say, but as soon as you start to identify that and can appreciate that, I feel like this shit becomes a hell of a lot easier. And I feel like people can start to see a little bit more clearly. And a lot of people deal with a lot of different shit out there, you know, and when you're removed, you know, from your plate, figuratively speaking, the comparison or the expectations or the societal norms or expectations for what a female at a certain age might look like or what they do, it's like, that's when I think that people start to feel better. They start to make meaningful, you know, just changes and mindset changes that just make this a little bit more enjoyable, a little bit more effortless, instead of feeling like we're always needing to like fit our body into a life or into a box that's kind of been predetermined for us, or what our moms told us, or what Woman's World magazine told us when we were growing up, you know, or what our social media feed is, the algorithm is feeding us. It's just, it's amazing to see how the psychology is so interconnected with all of this stuff. And I find that the practical nutrition stuff, how to meal prep, what foods we need to be eating more of, how much you should be eating, when you should eat, like those things are almost secondary to working past, you know, some of the gunk that might be kind of getting in the way of you actually realizing that, I don't know, like this all doesn't have to be as serious as we make it to be sometimes.
I think of the expression where it's like, it's not actually about food. Like your relationship with food has so little to do with food. And yes, there is immense benefit that comes from recognizing all that comes from building balanced meals and getting an adequate amount of each macronutrient and the micronutrients that you need. Like I am not here to hate on fiber and protein. I talk about it all the time, but I agree with you. I think what most of us need to do has a lot more to do with the behavior change side of things and maybe our emotional readiness and our mindsets. So I'm all for talking about that if that's the direction we want to take our conversation.
Agreed, which is exactly where we're going to go. Because one of the first questions that I have here is this whole mindset that I know I could probably speak for you. At least I can speak for myself where I've felt this way and I've told myself this a million times before. But the whole, I know what I need to do, I just need to do it statement that a lot of people can find themselves telling themselves. Whether it's, you know, just that internal voice that we hear, or, you know, somebody telling a coach that they hire, or their therapist, or whatever it is, just this idea that like, I know everything that I need to do for myself, but I just need to do it. I just have a hard time executing on that. And I say that mindset because it's not just about tactical, like tangible nutrition changes here. And I think this question is a little bit more, it's a little leading because it is kind of a mindset and it's something that I think we have to be a little bit more introspective, you know, as us, the person kind of telling ourselves these things. But when you hear that statement, does that ring a bell, or have you ever told yourself that in your life at one point? And what are your first like thoughts or your knee-jerk reaction when you're like, okay, you know, I hear this and these things are starting to ring in my head that might make me think it's not about the food, like you just said. It's maybe about some of these other things that might be a better starting point or things worth acknowledging before we keep taking steps in some of these directions that we want to go. I'm curious what you think when you hear that statement, if anything.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I see myself in that statement. I have absolutely said that before. So I mentioned my first degree is in psychology. And I mentioned that when I was first struggling with disordered eating, I didn't know how to deal with what was going on in my life. At the time, my brother was deeply struggling with substance use. And so after he passed away from an overdose, I didn't want to see anyone about my grief. I didn't want to, you know, pursue therapy because I have a degree in psychology and I use the exact words. Like, I know exactly what I need to do. I know it. I know I don't need to see someone. So I think when I hear someone say that, first of all, there's a deep sense of understanding. And I think a lot of it comes from, I have a lot of knowledge. I have this intellect. I know what I need to do. Like, absolutely, I had the knowledge, but I didn't have the tools. I didn't have the emotional capability to use those tools in my current situation. And so at the time, I told my husband, I was like, okay, if I am not healing in a fairly linear direction, like if you don't see things improving, understanding that grief, you know, is like an ocean, it comes in waves, let me know. You have the trump card, and then I will seek out professional help. Turns out that's what needed to happen. No surprise to anyone. Sometimes we need someone outside of ourselves to help us take the knowing and turn it into doing. And so I think that initial reaction for me is like, oh, maybe there's a little stigma there, a little stigma surrounding asking for help or seeking out a coach, a therapist, a mentor, whatever it is. That's uncomfortable. And it maybe there's a story there about like, I can't do this myself. Cool, you don't have to. But for me, that's what was going on. I then think, okay, where does this mindset come from? I know what I need to do, but I'm just not doing it. We talked about it being intellectual. We can have all the knowledge in the world, but that doesn't mean that we have the emotional readiness to actually commit to doing what we know we need to do. So that's that like knowing doing gap I referenced. And I think that until we're ready to, when it comes to nutrition, address the underlying issues of emotional eating and stress and the deep-seated habits that often override our logical decisions, we're always going to struggle with our relationship with food. Because like I mentioned, most of us know, oh, hey, vegetables are great for me. And me sitting down and eating dry cereal out of a box while I'm, you know, binging my favorite Netflix show at the end of the night isn't going to leave me feeling great tomorrow. But it comes down to like an emotional reaction. It's not the information that I have in my head. So I think, first of all, it's a lack of emotional readiness. Then I think there's information overload and overwhelm. Hello, we're bombarded with especially nutrition and diet and fitness advice all day, every day on social media. And it's really hard to take consistent action when we're like paralyzed by this analysis of, wait, is meat good? Is meat bad? Is fiber something I should aim for more of? Or like, are plants really evil? Like this person's telling me, what about carbs? I thought that we were supposed to not have carbohydrates, but now people are talking about the benefits of whole grains. Like it does get very confusing and there's so much conflicting information. So I think that overwhelm kind of just freezes us. And yeah, we have a ton of information. Keep in mind, some of it is just complete bullshit that we need to sift out. And some of it, we need to weigh, like what is going to work for me and my body and my current circumstances with my preferences, with my lifestyle. And of course, that's so much more helpful with a third party who's a little bit more objective to help us weed through all of that. Then I think there's this all or nothing mindset, which I love to talk about as a former people pleasing perfectionist type A firstborn. I understand the all or nothing mindset, but I think it gets in the way every time, especially when it comes to nutrition, because so many of us feel like if we can't do the thing perfectly, we might as well not do it at all. And until we learn to see failure as feedback and to recognize that good enough effort done on repeat is all we need to create success and get results that we're looking for. Not perfect effort, good enough effort. The stumbling block will always prevail. All or nothing thinking will always keep us stuck. And then I think just there's the humanness of like wanting instant gratification over long-term success. So our brains are wired to seek out short-term rewards. And it's like that decision, I'm sitting down at night and I know that I probably would feel better if I got a walk and ate a well-balanced meal. But do you know what? I just want to sit down, scroll mindlessly on TikTok and, you know, eat a chocolate bar or whatever it is. And so I think there's this instant gratification appeal that we kind of have to be able to navigate. And until we build those tools, those skills, those emotional regulating abilities, we're always going to struggle with having all the knowledge, but not having the tools we need to implement the knowledge and turn it into doing. I think a lot of people, I guess to sum up the answer to this question, a lot of people think they need to be strict with their nutrition execution of big steps, and they need to commit 100%. When in reality, what we need is flexible execution of small sustainable steps with 80% effort. And when you think about that, the latter is so much harder because it's prolonged effort that keeps us getting up every time we fall down, getting up after we have a poor choice or a mindless choice. The easier option, even though it keeps us stuck constantly, is like, let me do this thing perfectly for 12 days, for 14 days, for 75 days, whatever it is. And then I fail because I don't know what to do on day 15 or day 31 or day 76. I think it's a huge expectation adjustment that we need. And it's ultimately what keeps us in the, I know what to do, I'm just not doing it.
Super well said. That is an answer of why I wanted to have you on the show, because I think, you know, when I ask that question, as simple as it sounds, and again, I know everyone listening to this conversation right now can nod their head in agreement that like, I've probably said that to myself at one point or another before. I might be telling myself that right now as we're, you know, going into the second month of the year, and New Year's resolutions, you know, might be dropping off for certain people if that's something that they decided to do at the beginning of the year. But the simplicity of that question and the simplicity of that statement, when you actually break it down, you look at all the confounding variables that are going into this, it is really fucking complicated. Like there are so many, there's a laundry list of things that might be factoring into that mindset, into, you know, the things that you might be telling yourself or the actions that you might be taking. A lot of it is preconceived notions or your past experience or stuff that you've done in the past. Or again, we talk about what we've learned from our parents or from our, social group as we've grown up or as we were in a sorority or in the mom group that we're in today. Like a lot of it is like decisions that are honestly being made for us, and people aren't even making those decisions for themselves. They're just kind of maybe following along or just reverting back to what felt comfortable for them in the past or where they've been at one point. But I love that you mentioned that there's timelines, there's dopamine hits, there's all or nothing mentalities, there's, commitment issues, right? I find personally that a lot of people, when they say this, when we look at their goals and we look at what they want, right? Sometimes there's a disconnect between if you want that goal or not, or if that goal is actually worth it to you, and are the trade-offs that it takes to get to that goal actually something that you're willing to give? Because if they're not, then this, I know what to do. It's not something that's going to be productive in any scenario. And it's likely going to be the thing that keeps you stopping and starting over and over and over again. And again, feeds into that all or nothing mentality. So I find that like getting people to a place where we look at the goals or we look at like, hey, I know what I need to do. Like, what are the things that you need to do? And why are those contributing to this other thing? Or is that going to get you to this place? Or are those actually the tasks and the things that you need to be doing to get to where you want to be? Because couple things. One, I find that people wildly underestimate what it takes to get to where they want to be. Or two, they don't even account for the things they're not even thinking about in order to get to where they want to be. And again, when you know your goal and you're very clear and you have an idea of what you're willing to give up or what your life is like or what your current season of life is like, when you finally come to agreement that you can put towards the effort to get to those things, or maybe it's not a realistic time and you start moving the goalposts and we shoot for a different goal, like people's success vastly increases when we're actually working towards things that you want and you're actually able to do the shit that you need to do. But moving away from the tangible things, again, I think even more so, it's about the psychology of things. It's about just the expectations that we have of ourselves. It comes from like the, often unrealistic kind of expectations, again, that we have for ourselves and, what we've done in the past and where we need to be. And again, that comparison syndrome that a lot of people can kind of struggle with when it comes to health and fitness. It's like when you start to look at there's tangible action items involved in this conversation, but then there's also like the why and the reasons and, the rationale for some of these things. And a lot of these like things that I don't think people are even acknowledging that are likely the things that are the biggest barriers, more so than like, oh, I didn't even have fiber tomorrow, and that was the thing that got me off track. It's like, that's not actually the thing. It's your timeline. It's what you're doing. It's your expectations of yourself. It's like, once you kind of weed through that noise, that's when, again, I do feel like a lot of this can become easier, but that's the hard part. It's hard to see that for yourself sometimes. And if there's anything that people get from this conversation, it's like, sometimes like thinking a little bit more outside the box, not putting the blinders on, because I think people just think they need to be psychopaths and just execute to a T nonstop for the next 6 months. Where in reality, I love what you said. And just to reiterate that, it's like, taking imperfect action and being able to like show up even when you don't want to, get 1% better every day. Like those are the non-sexy wins that ironically are going to get you to the place you want to be a hell of a lot quicker than this road that a lot of people are taking, where it's just stop, start, just trying to sprint all the time, when in reality, it's not fair. And it's not something that people actually need to do at the end of the day.
I think about it this way. I'm a visual learner, so analogies are my jam. But if tomorrow I were to like wave a magic wand and you looked and felt exactly how you want to do, like you reached your goal weight, if you have one of those, you were wearing your, the skinny jeans that are in the back of your closet, whatever it is, would you be able to sustain that? Even if I told you, here's how many calories you need, here's how many protein, gram, carbohydrate, all this stuff. If I gave you the exact formula that you needed to maintain that body comp, would you be able to for the foreseeable future? Maybe for a week, maybe a month, but what about a decade? No, because you didn't put any time in to becoming the person that lives that reality, right? You're still gonna struggle with emotional eating if that's a barrier for you. You're still gonna navigate this restrict, binge, restrict cycle if you didn't actually heal that and learn how to eat enough on a consistent basis. You're still gonna struggle with all of the mindset barriers that you have, because that's the becoming that all of us wanna skip. We just want the calculation, give me like the crude formula to get to where I want to be. But we don't acknowledge that research shows very clearly one of the biggest predictors of people losing weight and being able to keep it off is actually having felt a change in their identity. I am no longer someone who like crash diets. I'm no longer someone who tries to exercise but always falls off the wagon. I am someone who moves my body consistently. I am someone who makes mostly healthy eating choices. You have to become that person. You have to actually change your identity along the way, which comes from the work, comes from the doing, not just from the knowing.
I love that you bring up the identity change piece of this conversation, because I think we're kind of talking around one of the other questions that I wanted to ask you, where it's like, what are mistakes or barriers or things that make this quote unquote eating healthy difficult? Again, I think this sentence, it sounds simple, but there's kind of a lot to unpack here, right? There's like difficult, like that's subjective. What does that mean for some people? There's healthy or eating healthier or eating clean. Like to a lot of people that can be very subjective and open to interpretation for a lot of things. And again, it's like, what are some things that make that difficult? A lot of times it's not necessarily the X's and O's. It's the words we use, how we talk to ourselves, the identity that we're embodying, whether or not we're making meaningful strides or progressions into changing that verbiage that we use with ourselves or how we approach things, asking for help if we need it. And I find that it's about tactical stuff, sure, but it's mostly about just like, it's mostly about how we communicate to ourselves and how we communicate with other people. And if you can't get over that spot, or you can't identify that maybe there's room for improvement in that department of your life, like this shit is going to be a hell of a lot more complicated and difficult. And I find that those are the things that, again, keep people stuck in this rut for decades of their life if they're not careful. But kind of bringing up this next question of like, quote unquote, trying to eat healthier, trying to eat clean. As somebody who I know has kind of gone through maybe their own version of that, like I know that can be very triggering, and a lot of people can find that be very, you know, just clean eating or trying to eat healthier is a very triggering statement for a lot of people, even myself too, having been in a spot where the most discomfort and the more food obsession and the more just like frustration that I had around nutrition was when I adopted this mindset more than anything. How do we start to go about communicating as health professionals or as coaches to people that maybe this is missing the mark, or maybe there's a lot to unpack here? And how can we get people to a place where like, hey, we're not making these common mistakes when we're just trying to flip that switch and trying to quote unquote eat healthier going forward? Because I feel like this is a time of the year where, again, people struggle with that mindset because they really went full throttle and they start doing dry January and they start meal prepping every week and maybe they start tracking their food, or maybe they're trying to be perfect on the weekends. And February, March is an easy time for people to kind of come down off of that high and start incorporating different things and swinging to the other end of that pendulum and starting that process over again of like going from one extreme to the other throughout the course of the year. It's a very long-winded question here, but like, what are some thoughts that you know, have when you hear those things as a health coach, as a health professional, and even with your own experiences of like why that might not be the mess mentality to adopt when it comes to improving your health and making meaningful progressions and identity changes over your lifespan?
I think I have to start with a question, which is pretty much what I do with all of my coaching clients. Like if they ask me a question, they usually know they're not going to get a direct answer in response. But to your point, you said, well, what is difficult? Like, how are we defining that? And I would actually want to better define the second half. So to eat healthy, but what the hell does that actually mean to someone? A diet culture worships thinness and basically equates it to health. So the thinner you are, the healthier you are. Diet culture also promotes weight loss at all costs. And the moral value of food, the idea that there's good food and bad food and a right way to eat and a wrong way to eat, is basically like how we discriminate anyone who is healthy from anyone who is unhealthy. And if your body doesn't fit in this narrow ideal, if your choices don't fall into this definition, well, then you're not healthy. But we know that health is multifaceted and that health is not defined simply by the size of our body. So if we're taking that and kind of clarifying that health does not mean being our smallest, our lightest, our leanest, and making the most low calorie choice, but health is actually a multifaceted mental, physical, emotional, social components, this construct, then I think we have an easier time answering that question. To take a step back, I think the biggest mistakes most people make when they are trying to, quote, eat healthier is first and foremost, they try to tackle too much at once. They are trying to overhaul their diet. And tomorrow, I'm going to cut out all the bad things and I'm going to only eat all the good things, right? Which has a ton of diet culture messaging. But beyond that, you are not a superhero. I know that you may be amazing, incredible, very good at what you do. You may be able to multitask. That defeats the purpose of trying to be healthy, because if we want this to last, and in order to achieve true health, we can't just create change in the short term. We have to make sure that it sticks around. We cannot do everything today, tomorrow, this week, this month. In fact, I would argue if you made one change every month for the next year, you would be healthier than you arguably have ever been trying to overhaul your entire diet in January for the last 12 years, right? And you think one thing a month, that's it? Like this month, I'm just gonna focus on eating more vegetables, or this month, I'm gonna focus on moving for 30 minutes every day, or this month, I'm gonna focus on powering down my screen and getting enough sleep. One a month, more, the majority of us would be far healthier than the approach that we take now, because we have our last supper and then we get very strict and very stringent. And then that works for a week, maybe two, maybe a month. And then we're back in the same place where we started. I think that's the biggest mistake. Two would be following extreme or fad diets. So we take too big of steps. We cut out entire food groups, or, you know, we do something that's like super restrictive. We try to take off too big of a bite. And that leads to rebound eating, restricting, whether that's in terms of calories or it's just a mental restriction. You shouldn't eat out. You can't have that. Is always going to lead to this compensation of, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just ate that much. Or wow, why can't I do this? I feel like I'm just totally out of control. We have to make sure that we find this, what I call messy middle space. Sure, you can eat less sugar if you feel like you're eating too much of it, but maybe let's not cut it out if you absolutely love ice cream on a Friday night with your kids. Or like, yes, there are certain carbohydrates that you could probably benefit from eating a more moderate amount of, but that doesn't mean that you have to go to zero. And there's huge benefit to maybe focusing on choosing more whole sources of carbohydrates, right? So like finding this middle ground versus taking a very extreme all or nothing approach. Three, I think the mistake that we make is focusing exclusively on calories. I made this mistake a lot when I was convinced I was eating very healthy. What I actually meant is I was eating low calorie. And when we just simply cut a significant amount of calories, or we always choose the lowest calorie option on the menu, we're not necessarily getting the nourishment that we need, nor are we going to be left feeling satisfied or satiated. So then I'm scrounging around trying to find foods in my pantry late at night. And at that point, I'm hungry, I'm malnourished. And also that's when like that emotional drive kicks in, because now I'm tired, I've made decisions all day. Who gives a fuck? I'm just gonna have the cookies or the chips. So I think changing our definition, like I mentioned at the beginning, from low calorie to what is actually going to leave me looking, feeling, and performing my absolute best, which is not always the lowest calorie option, is huge. I think the fourth mistake we often make is relying exclusively on motivation. So I'm going to eat really healthy today because I feel really good. I've got a lot of willpower. It's the beginning of the year, or my coworkers are starting this challenge, or summer's coming. I'm feeling like I want to look really sexy in my swimsuit. But motivation and willpower are like lust. They're unreliable, they're fickle, they come and they go. They're not a commitment like love. And what actually ends up being a bigger predictor of our success is how we set up our environments and the routines that we have, the habits that we engage in. They play a much bigger role. So we have to have these things in place so that when we just don't feel like it, when motivation is MIA, we still have a healthy choice that is easy and accessible for us to make. And then the last thing I'll mention, although we could talk about this all day, is being too hard on yourself. So one unhealthy meal doesn't ruin progress. So if someone's trying to eat healthy and then, I don't know, they get out of work late, their kids are just absolutely off the wall and they're like, shoot, we're ordering pizza, or like throwing a frozen pizza in the oven, that's dinner tonight. But you had committed a week ago to eating lean and green, Okay, that doesn't mean that like you go back to home or you go back to start or like you fell off of the wagon. Like this is just your life. There is no wagon. So that guilt leads you to giving up and then just pressing repeat, repeat, repeat every single time instead of getting curious, hey, why did that happen? How could I set myself up to make a different choice the next time I get off work late or the next time my kids are off the wall? Like what could I do differently? And yeah, this choice didn't feel amazing, but you know what? I can make a different choice, a healthier choice tomorrow morning when I wake up or at my next meal, my next eating occasion. So I think a lot of it stems from how are we defining eating healthy and not getting stuck in any particular camp. Like, if I had to define my diet, it wouldn't fit neatly into a box. I couldn't tell you that I am strictly plant-based because sometimes I eat processed packaged things that are completely man-made. Do I eat a lot of plants? Yeah, I do. I can't tell you that I am, vegan or vegetarian or completely gluten-free. Like, my diet is this messy conglomeration of things that I know serve me. And yes, they're predominantly whole foods, but also include the things that really bring my soul and my taste buds pleasure, because I think that at the end of the day is what's really healthy.
Mic drop. Yeah. And how dare you talk about nuance when it comes to nutrition and what it means to eating for your needs and for your goals and for your preferences? Because I feel like all of that was so well said. And the thing that sticks out to me and where we start kind of like looking at this word health and we dissect what healthy means or what the definition of healthy means to us, because everyone's definition is going to be different. But I think a lot of people need to appreciate the fact that, like, I need to eat healthier. Like, that's the start of the conversation. It's not the end of it. And I think so many people get in this mindset where it's like a one-way street. And when I say I need to eat healthier, it includes all these rules and these restrictions and this mindset that, again, is usually temporary for a lot of people. It's not usually sustainable. It's not usually very fun. It's not usually very enjoyable for the consumer. And it's something that, again, leads to a sprint followed by a temporary break or a pause when, again, you come home, like you alluded to, and there's a mom and she had a stressful day and the quote unquote evening goes imperfect. And when I think of like where this shit comes from, it's hard, but I think we attribute or can attribute a lot of this to the messaging around social media. Again, like what we've learned and what we've kind of been telling ourselves in the past, and how that's been influenced or shaped by different exposures or different people or different camps. Like, of course, that plays into it. But even today, like, I think the lack of nuance in the nutrition space is more of a detriment to a lot of people. And I think that, when you look at a lot of the health information that you're consuming online, a lot of people are telling you their opinion on what health means to them, and you're adopting that for yourself, when in reality, it's probably not even applicable and it's probably incorrect and it's probably doing more harm and kind of, again, feeding into eating disorder, disordered eating patterns, or just a disruption in like your mental sanity because you're so overly confused and you're so overwhelmed with information that it's difficult to actually make a decision for yourself. And people end up making decisions based off what people tell them to make, right? They watch a video online and you have somebody sitting here who is now avoiding seed oils at all costs and who is avoiding carrageenan, and they're looking at, the food label super meticulously for individual ingredients that they can't read something, then they put it back. And, they're avoiding all added sugar unless it's in this organic product. And, they're listening to people who have borderline eating disorders or who are struggling with an eating disorder themselves. And those are pieces of information, again, that make this health definition really fucking muddy for us, for the person listening to this, and for people just to differentiate like what that actually means for themselves. So the people that get around, or at least the messages that people get around nutrition these days, it's just they don't account for flexibility. They don't account for individualization. They don't account for cultural preferences. They don't account for what season of life you're in. They don't account for practicality of certain things. And again, even what your goals are at the end of the day. And I think when a lot of people can take a step back and audit the information they're receiving, the information they're putting to use, what they're telling themselves, like they can get really fucking clear and really just hyper vigilant that, yeah, you know what? Maybe some of these statements, like I just need to do, the things that I know I need to do, and I need to eat healthier, and I'm going to go back to clean eating. When you start to realize that that's not a super productive headspace to be in, again, having that be the start of the conversation, I almost feel like people can live a little bit more freely and they live a little bit more flexibly. And that's the place, again, that we want to be making nutrition decisions from. Like, that's the place that ideally is going to, you know, kind of lead to this identity change, this transformation change that a lot of people are looking for. It comes with that. It comes with the person that's a little bit more curious, a little bit more skeptical, a little bit more like, I'm not going to believe every fucking thing I see online. And ironically, when you start to question those things, you start to realize that maybe there's stuff that you could leave behind and unfollow or actually not implement. And that's going to get you to a place quicker than you trying to follow this arbitrary set of rules that a lot of people are setting for you.
Totally. My advice is usually be, what's the word I'm looking for? Be critical about any accounts or influencers or quote healthcare professionals who are telling you what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, and lean more towards or get more curious about the healthcare professionals, the sources that are teaching you how to learn what feels great and what feels right for your body. Because I think it's very easy to get online and be like, this worked for me, so it's going to work for you. Here's the results I got. For sure, you're going to get the same results. It is much harder and requires a different skill set altogether to say, hey, I see you. I hear what you're struggling with. I see where you want to go. Let me help you build the skills and the tools that it takes to get there. Let's audit what you're currently doing and fill in the gaps together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Really well said. I feel like we could talk for another 2 hours, but we got to bookmark it here. I know you have a call here at the top of the hour. This was super fun, super enlightening, and something I know hopefully that's going to be productive and helpful for a lot of people listening to this. But I appreciate your time so much. We'll bookmark part two here for the next, you know, near future when I get to jump on your podcast or whatever we have lined up for us in the next month or two. But tell people where they can find you, where they can follow you, how they can get a hold of you. And I'll obviously plug everything in the show notes.
Absolutely. Yes. Come hang out on Instagram. I am always there responding to DMs myself, as Luke can testify, at Nutrition with Nicole. And you can find my website at Nutrition Coaching with Nicole. Luke is going to hop on my podcast soon, so you can hear more of the two of us chatting together about all this nutrition science stuff. The Health Wealth, WELLTH, and Wisdom podcast is where you can hear more.
Thanks, Nicole. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Luke, so much for having me. This was such a blast.
Thank you again for listening to this episode. If you found value and enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media. If you do, make sure you tag me so I can say thanks. Or if you're on iTunes, scrolling down and leaving a 5-star review would be much appreciated. And if you ever want to get in touch with me, you can always find me on Instagram at LukeSmithRD. Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. I'll see you on the next episode.